Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Campionato di calcio italiano.
Oh, hello, hello. Welcome back to a brand new season, but the same old Fourth Italian Football Podcast. As ever, I am your host, Connor Clancy. Joining me from very far away is the ever reliable Vito Doria. Vito, it is a pleasure to speak to you again, but also quite terrifying that it's been 3 months because it feels like last week that we were here.
Yeah, it just seems so sudden that the 2018-2019 season's about to start again, but I'm really looking forward to it. The obvious reason is Cristiano Ronaldo joining Juventus, so I'm really hoping that more people follow Serie A and also listen to us on the podcast. So I think it's going to be a really exciting time for Serie A fans and even for us here at Forza Italian Football.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting for a few weeks, but I'm sure by the time October hits, I will be sick of writing the words Cristiano Ronaldo and then followed by did something good. But yeah, no, you're right. It is quite nice to have the big man in Italy. And I think I'll be seeing him in week three, actually, because Juve are away to Parma and fingers crossed I will be there. Also joining me is the ever irritating Nicholas Carroll. Nick, how are you?
Thanks for the build up. I'm very good, apart from just waking up, but it's very exciting to be back. Serie A is back after the long break. Obviously had the World Cup with no Italy, unfortunately. So it has been a bit of a break. But as you said, Cristiano Ronaldo has put the spotlight on to the league. So it's a huge chance for Italian football to show what it's made of. It's been a long time since it's kind of, lost that kind of spark, that international spark. So this is the time and things seem to be happening. Inter's growing. You know, a lot of those teams are the Milan giants of old. You know, it seems like it might be on its way back. So there's lots to be excited about. Parma's back. Of course, had a little video there. So it's there's something there this season. So tune in.
And match fixing allegations are back. How could you leave that one out? Right, we won't discuss that. The viewers are already kind of building up. Raven has come in the comments early. Raven, congratulations for being the first of the season. He says he's looking forward to all the Ronaldo fanboys joining the Serie A, the type that supports superstars, not clubs. Yeah, we'll get plenty of that. I think Juve's social media team have seen the Cristiano Ronaldo effect take over, because I think Cristiano had more followers on Facebook than Juventus did or something before the move. But before we get into Cristiano Ronaldo and Juventus, I do want to tease a giveaway that we will be running on this preview podcast. Sadly, for those of you watching, it is only for those of you listening to the audio version of the podcast. But if you are one of the viewers on YouTube, head to the link in the description. And once the podcast has been edited and uploaded, skip straight to the end of it, because that's when we'll be doing the giveaway. So you don't have to listen to us talk absolute nonsense twice. The prizes are going to be pretty good as well. And it's an interesting question. So head over, download the podcast on iTunes or Acast, and be sure to enter the competition. Right, guys, let's start at what will be the top of Serie A, likely for another 7 years after the seven that we have just seen, Juventus. And are they just in their own league this season in Serie A? Is it going to be Juventus number one? Then there's going to be a five-team league beneath them. Nick, Cristiano Ronaldo is there. Does this just guarantee another Scudetto?
I mean, I'm hesitant to say it's the Scudetto is already decided, but the Scudetto is already probably decided. It's I mean, what can you say? Like, if anything, their biggest challenge in Napoli has been arguably weakened, and that you just look at that squad. It's just, and it's been strengthened, as you said, Cristiano Ronaldo. They've got Leonardo Bonucci back, so it's back to that defensive old. You know, the combinations are already there. It's they've improved even with they've managed to get Cancelo from Inter, who was probably among Inter's best last season, and he's going to be a great addition. I think he could really become something quite big. He'll be creating chances down the flank for them. So it's, you know, you try to find some negatives or something to say, well, maybe they won't be that good, but it seems like it's just going to be for Juventus, the Scudetto, and then how they go in the Champions League, because there's, the success is going to be measured on Champions League, because you'd have to think now that they've made that play for Ronaldo, anything less than a Champions League trophy, like even a final, I'm not sure that that's going to be good enough. It seems like they need to win the Champions League this season. So it's a big one, but I mean, what else have they got to kind of play for?
No, I completely agree with that. When they signed Gonzalo Higuain 2 years ago, and they had won Serie A, what, five times in a row at that point, and we said that his success or failure at Juve would be judged if they won a Champions League. He helped them get to a final, but they didn't win a Champions League, so I guess that was a transfer that failed. And if Juve don't win the Champions League now with Cristiano Ronaldo, people are going to have some fun with it, because that is the only reason you're signing him. You don't sign Cristiano Ronaldo to do something that you've been doing for the last 7 years. Ronaldo's there for them to win and become European champions. And if they don't do it, it is another failed signing. I'm willing to say it, because they don't need Cristiano to win. So yeah, you touched on it there briefly, but they also brought in Emre Can, Mattia Perin, João Cancelo, and Leonardo Bonucci, among others. Vito, it's quite ominous for the rest of the league, isn't it? Because you look and see Roma and Inter have signed well. Napoli came close last year. And then Juve go and sign Cristiano Ronaldo, bring back Bonucci, can afford to give away Gonzalo Higuain and Mattia Caldara, and they're still going to win Serie A quite easily. What do you think? Is it all about the Champions League for Juve this year?
It has to be. Whether it's just the Agnelli family or the Juventus board in general, as well as the remainder of the club, domestic dominance is not enough for Juventus now. It's about conquering Europe and finally getting that third European Cup / Champions League. They need to cement their status on the continent, because at the moment they've won seven consecutive Serie A titles, but the Champions League's been so elusive, and they've lost two Champions League finals in the last 3 or 4 years. So it's time that they really shrug up those, you know, those ghosts or, you know, those worries, and finally believe that Europe is theirs for the taking.
Yeah, there's some comments popping up. Doria Boy, who is an unfamiliar name in the comments, forgive me if I've just forgotten, he's happy to have us back. He's looking forward to an exciting season in Serie A. And Badger has come in and said, so long as Juve don't get the treble, I'm happy. Well, I am fearful that you won't be too happy come the end of the season then. And I'll be joining you on that, because it would be a shame to see Juve win all three things. No disrespect to them. But Vito, I say every year, and I get criticised for it every year, I say that I don't enjoy watching Juventus in Serie A, because everything they do can be predicted before the start of the season. Whereas in the Champions League, they've always been one of my favourite teams to watch. Are they actually going to be fun to watch this year? Because they've got, it looks like they'll probably play with Paulo Dybala and Douglas Costa behind Ronaldo. João Cancelo on the right offers them something different there. Emre Can coming in, they might be a bit more of a ball playing team. Am I getting too optimistic that they might be fun to watch this year, or are they just going to be the same old ugly grinding out results?
At the moment, I still think they're going to be the same conservative Juve team. And the only way that's going to change is if Allegri believes in himself that he can play a far more attacking style of football, as we saw last year in the, well, last season in the Champions League when they played in Madrid against Real Madrid. They showed that they can actually play some exciting football. So if they have that mindset for a majority of games, then I think the talent is there to really put the foot on the accelerator and, you know, even try and score 100 league goals in a season, which hasn't been done in a very long time, probably since the 1950s or even 1960s. So, you know, I think Allegri's just got to be more courageous, more bold, and acknowledge he's got one of the greatest players of all time in his team. Don't waste it on playing for 1-0 wins and 0-0 draws. The opposition is there to be smashed 5-0 and 6-0.
Ravens come back in the comments and says that Juve might take their eye off the league and Inter or Roma could benefit, which I think is a very optimistic way of looking at things, because they could play a second string team most weeks in Serie A and still brush aside most of that bottom half. Nick, Inter were mentioned, so we'll move on to them. Me and you spoke in Milan over a coffee for a video that we did over the summer, and we were quite impressed by what Inter had done to that point. And since then, they've signed a couple more players. Second is everything for them this year, and maybe a title push given what Juventus do. But anything less than second place for Spalletti in his second season should be seen as a failure this year.
Do you remember when you were giving it to me for predicting Inter would come second?
I wasn't giving out to you. Just said I wanted that on record, and now you've put it on the pod without me even forcing you to, so thank you very much.
Look, I'm not going to say anything less than second is a failure, because, I mean, top four needs to be, obviously, continuously.
All right, no, can we get over this with Inter?
Finish, but top four can be fine depending on what happens in the Champions League, because Inter can have a good go at the Champions League here. So if it's a matter of, you know, putting a couple second string teams towards the end of the season, product placement, just FYI, if it is a matter of Inter putting some second teams out there, you know, that's fine. In second or third, it doesn't really make a difference. So that's my only point there. Do I think Inter will... mugs, phones, stickers, pens. Anyway.
Back on point. We'll get to the shop later. Don't worry about it.
Anyone who's listening to this is going to be like, what the hell is he talking about? Anyway.
Not for the first time.
No, but look, they've had an amazing summer transfer. It's been a long time coming after so many ridiculous transfers and disappointment for Inter fans. So it's great to see Rajan Angalan will be huge in the middle. And then Lautaro Martinez, who at first I didn't think too much of it because, you know, a lot of people get way too excited over these kind of things, Gabigol being, you know, a perfect example. But
already Gabigol alone, I will fight for him to the death.
But no, already, if anyone's caught some of the Inter's preseason matches, he looks something. Obviously, he can score a goal. If you saw his strike against Atletico Madrid, it was beautiful. But he, you know, his skill on the ball is incredible. His link up with Mauro Icardi will be key. It looks like they can definitely build something. His passing game will need to be developed, of course, through the season. So I can't see him starting the start of the season, but look, there's a lot of development there. So I think Spalletti will try and ease him into the squad throughout the season. So lots to be excited about. And yeah, to your original question, I think Inter should finish second relatively comfortably.
Okay, I was ready to jump down your throat when you started that answer, but then when you threw in the caveat of the Champions League, I was more accepting. But if Inter get knocked out of the last 16 of the Champions League and don't finish second, Spalletti has failed this season. And I will be reminding you of that next May if that does become truth. Vito, their latest signing is Keita Balde, who we are familiar with in Serie A. You were one of the people who was most vocal on the podcast last year about their need for someone who can create chances for those in front of them. Personally, Keita Balde is a player that I have always found frustrating. At Lazio, he can turn it kind of like Felipe Anderson in that he could be brilliant for 3 weeks of the season and then do nothing for 35. Is he the guy to solve Inter's problems in that hole behind Icardi?
I don't really think he best operates in that role, but he is someone that can make an impact in games due to his speed, and he also has that finishing ability too. So I'm hoping he has a similar season to what he had in his final year with Lazio, or even better than that. So I really would like to see Keita Balde do well so Inter can really push for, you know, at least second place. And also any reason to keep Antonio Candreva on the bench, that would be great. So with the amount of attacking options Inter have brought in the off-season, I think Inter can do better than fourth. And Keita Balde, he might be one of those difference makers. I reckon the season at Monaco was a bit of a one-off. So I think Spalletti can do something with him and bring him back to form.
Let's hope so. Nick, I've sent you a question, so I'll stick with Vito for the next one, just so you have time to think about that. But they've brought in, we were quite worried when Cancelo left for Inter because he's such a good player, but they've brought in, I'm sorry, Simo Grassalico. I'm going to have to learn how to say his name again now that he's back in Serie A. But he didn't always play for Atleti. I think he might have missed more games than he was actually available for there as well. But we saw during the World Cup what a player he can be when he's fit and playing. He's a pretty good addition for Spalletti's side once he stays fit, Vito, do you think?
I think he is. He was a fine player at Sassuolo, and based on that, that justified first transfer rumours of him going to Napoli and then actually going to Atletico. So with Inter bringing him in, and he's also united with his compatriots, Brozovic and Perisic, so I think that would help him settle in more. Plus, the fullback positions have been a concern for Inter, so I reckon Rusalko's got a great chance to really establish himself at a big club, and it would be a huge plus for Inter to have him there, but also beneficial for him to be in a big club, to also be back in Serie A, and as I said, to be with his Croatian teammates. I think that will help him develop his confidence and gets him back into form, because I do believe that Inter look like a team capable of building something special, but being Scudetto contenders would be a huge stretch, but there is something there. I don't think these players are mediocre, and I don't think Vasalko's a mediocre fullback. I think he can play.
I guess this is a real test of Spalletti, not only how they perform, but how he deals with some of the individuals he's come in, which is something that Jake Phillips touches on in a comment that has just popped up. Nick, do you mind shedding some insight into Spalletti's man management and how he's going to integrate players like Nainggolan and Keita Balde, who maybe have a reputation for being difficult to manage? Well, Spalletti has worked with Nainggolan before, so I'm sure that won't be an issue. But Keita Balde, how is he going to deal with him?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at all the Italian managers, I definitely think that Spalletti is the man that you want in terms of controlling certain personalities, let's say. And as you kind of referred to before, Connor, Keita Balde has a history of, you know, being a bit out there. So look, hopefully he has matured, but I think Spalletti, you know, that's half of his skill. You know, there's the tactical elements, but his man management is probably second to none, at least in Serie A. You know, he earns the respect of his playing shed generally. You know, you saw the effect he had at Roma when he came in, with one exception, let's say, but that was exceptional circumstances. No, but I think he's the perfect man to get this team together. I'm really interested to see how Nangala and Anakadi works, two huge personalities in themselves. And I think I mentioned this before, but as you mentioned, he's worked with Nangalan before, so there's already that relationship. You know, Spalletti is the man that can do it. So, I think he just needs to keep this team about being one group, not no individuals. And, you know, I will say that's one advantage that Inter possibly has over Juventus, in that they will be looking... It's more of a team, where I question whether Cristiano Ronaldo is ready to relinquish his star.
Right, I'll save you from your inability to come up with a word there. And Badger's come in and says he's going to be angry when they sack Spalletti. It's a matter of time. What do you think? They've learned from their previous mistakes, surely.
I mean, I can't see why they would want to sack Spalletti. I mean, yeah, how many coaches Inter's gone through? This is the first time we've looked like we might actually be building something. So they need the consistency. I guess one element is, you know, as we said with Milan last season, which of course they didn't listen to, is that they need time to gel. For Inter, I would say less so, because they've still got that main structure from last season. So they've already got something to build off of. So I'm not expecting them to be in too much of a slump or anything to start the season. I think they'll be ready to go. And I think Spalletti's the man to do the job. I can't see anyone else who would be better placed.
Okay. I don't know if people are returning, trying to wind us up as early as possible this season. Vito, this is you and me particularly. But LOLXY1 has come in to say, my money is on Fiorentina finishing second. I'm not responding to that. And Raven has come back. And this one is obviously aimed at you, Vito, but I don't remember Raven being in the comments last season. He says, I think Crescito is the best signing of the transfer window. Where's he gone to?
I do remember Raven. I think he might be a Hellas Verona fan, if I'm not mistaken, or he made comments about them. But yes, Crescito did join Genoa after returning from Zenit St. Petersburg. But I do recall he did get sent off in a friendly or two. One of them was after 18 minutes. So if he's going to be getting sent off early in this season again and again, well, Genoa, they're in big trouble.
Ah, it's CM Fox. You're right. It is the Verona fan. He's on his missus's account. CM Fox, it is a pleasure to have you back in the comments with us. And I should have known from the things you're saying, to be fair. Although you were unusually positive about something by complimenting Fiorentina's shirt. What else have we got going on in the comments? Not too much. Right, we'll move on. Just before we move on to Napoli, I do want to remind everyone that there will be the giveaway on the audio version of the podcast. So download that, skip straight to the end so you don't have to listen to us twice, and find out how to enter. There's going to be a retro football shirt, something to do with Roberto Baggio, and money so you can buy things like this and like this in the FIF shop. So don't miss out on those opportunities. Nick, you and I, it's fair to say we had a bit of a soft spot for Napoli last season. Most of that was due to the fact that Maurizio Sarri had them playing some of the best football I have seen in my life. And I don't just mean following Serie A. I've never been as impressed with a team that I've seen in the flesh as I have been with that Napoli team under Sarri. But it's all changing. They brought in Carlo Ancelotti way back in May, just days after the season finished. And he still doesn't seem to know what he's actually going to do with this team. Personally, I'm not a Napoli fan, but I am worried for them. I'm going to go on record and say I don't think they'll get top four this season. I love Carlo Ancelotti, but I don't think it's going to work for him there. And I want to know why you disagree with me.
Wow. You've thrown them out of the top four just like that.
I said this to you in Milan, and I want to be upfront with my predictions and put it out there on the record as early as possible. But yeah, Napoli aren't getting top four this year.
I mean, you've shocked me, Connor. Look, there is a little bit of, you know, I'm not even going to say concern, but maybe just acknowledgement that it might take a little bit for this team to, you know, to come together, and I guess acknowledgement that they're not going to particularly reach the heights that they had under Sarri, at least for the coming season. But to me, look, Jorginho is, of course, a massive, massive loss. He was basically central to that Sarri philosophy. So in that respect, I guess, you know, it is a bit of a downer. And Hamsik, I'm not convinced about him being in that in the middle of that three-man midfield. But look...
Can I just jump in on that? Sorry, yeah. I'll let you go back. But I was at the Napoli-Liverpool game, and you never want to read too much into a friendly, but Hamsik played as Jorginho, basically, while Amadou Diawara was sitting on the bench. And Hamsik, as much as you love the guy, he is not Andrea Pirlo. He is not the guy who sits and orchestrates play. He's best when he's coming onto all the action. He can see everything. And we said last season that Jorginho played with wing mirrors on. Hamsik hasn't got those same wing mirrors. And he was getting caught out of possession stupidly. And it was a shame to see him play like that, because he was just swarmed by Liverpool. And as much as you don't want to describe Hamsik as a weakness, if he plays there for Napoli this year, he will be exploited as a weakness.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I do wonder what Ancelotti's plans are with Diawara, because he has shown in the past. I mean, we're going back two seasons ago when when he looked like he was really coming to the forefront, and then he wasn't played that much last season, as much as I certainly thought he would. So I'm not sure if there's something there that, you know, possibly we can't see, or he's just not quite developing the way they had planned. But I would really like to see him given more of a go in the starting squad, and Hamsik, whether it is playing out wide or coming from the bench, maybe that's something Ancelotti will look to go to gradually through the season. But look, outside of that, it is basically the same Napoli squad. They've got the same, you know, structure there. The Koulibaly, Albiol, central defense, the three forwards are the same, with some added depth, you could say now. It's Simone Verdi. He actually scored a great goal against Chievo, I believe it was. Volleyed it in from a cross to the back post. So look, there's some added depth there. Adam Onis is still there as well. He actually was... saw him have a little bit of a run against Chievo, which was...
That's nice for him.
Yeah, I'll give him a little mention. Hi, Adam. He had great skill on the ball, actually. He didn't seem to be able to pass it, but great skill. But look, I can't... I think, you know, it's very easy to get down about this Napoli squad, but I think they still should be a top four team. They have the remnants there of last season. They've got the combinations already there. So I can't see anything disastrous, but certainly second's probably too far for them.
Yeah, see, last year, finishing second was an overachievement in itself, because what was it, the fifth biggest wage budget, all that. On paper, they're probably not the second best team in Serie A last year or at the moment. And I do think without Maurizio Sarri, they wouldn't have been anywhere near what they did achieve. Doria Boy has come in and says it's a fresh identity for the Partenope under Napoli. At the Partenope under Ancelotti. I don't think it is. It's just when I was at the game, it just seemed like they were doing they were told to do the same things that they previously did, but without having been trained to do those things anymore. So they looked like they knew what they had to do. It just took a little bit longer. Nick, you look like you're trying to interject.
Oh, I did have one question, but I'll put that aside. But just on that point, I do think it is a really difficult position for Ancelotti to come into. Like, let's be clear too, because Ancelotti is one of the best coaches in the world. Like, hands down. So we should also realize that. But coming into this Napoli team that over the last couple of seasons, they've been known internationally of playing this style of football. So you come in there as a very world-renowned coach, and you've got basically almost the same resources, bar Jorginho being the main one. So what do you do? Do you try to keep that same playing style going and then just slowly adapt it to your coaching style? Or do you just come in there straight away, change everything, and then hope that, you know, they're able to understand that new style quick enough through the season so that you can actually succeed? Like, it's not an easy time for Ancelotti to come in, and it is a huge challenge for him. So I can understand that, particularly in the preseason, why they're going to look quite disjointed, not sure what they're doing. And that might flow into the start of the Serie A season. But I think he deserves a bit of time to kind of find not only allow the players to understand what they're doing, but for Ancelotti to actually decide what he needs to do, because that might take some time.
Yeah, I don't want it to seem like I'm coming down harshly on Ancelotti, because I do need to reiterate, he is someone that I have incredible respect for. I love the guy as a coach, but I just think at the point he is in his career and at the point that this Napoli team are, it's not a good match. I just think it's a recipe for disaster, and it will break my heart to see him fail there, but I do think that's what's going to happen. And I agree with what you're saying about how it's a tough one to manage coming into this team, how have such a distinctive style. But Vito, you caught a news piece on the last couple of days about how he still doesn't seem to know what he's actually going to do with this team. He's talking about changing the system now, and we're what, less than a week before the season starts?
Yeah, it does seem that way, at least according to La Gazzetta dello Sport. They reckon that Ancelotti could move the defence deep instead of playing the high line that they did under Sarri. And it's possible that the defence will probably get more defensive cover or protection than what it did under Sarri. So possibly as the season progresses, we'll probably see Ancelotti create his own system or put in his own ideas. But it seems that he's going to be doing it out of necessity, because there's a big transition between Sarri's style and his. If I had to make predictions, I'd probably say Allen and maybe Diawara, they could be those two defensive midfielders, assuming that Ancelotti goes for maybe like a 4-2-3-1 formation, and perhaps maybe they become more counter-attacking, or there is less emphasis on possession now that Sarri's gone. So with different players, you also change the tactics of the team, and with different attributes in those players, it's gonna affect the way Napoli plays. But of course, you've got to have the right balance. And if Ancelotti has to put in a couple of defensive midfielders to find that balance, so be it.
Mm. Alan, to be fair, was the only Napoli player that looked impressive in that Liverpool game. He was everywhere, as you would expect. Raven is checking the title odds for Napoli, I guess. Doria Boy says Napoli won't replicate the numbers they reach in Sarri. Don't think anyone's going to disagree with you there. And Jake Phillips makes a point that I am inclined to agree with, and that it will be a replay of Ancelotti's spell at Bayern. Players won't adapt well from going to a highly structured system to a more hands-off one. And that's the thing. There is a precedent for this with Ancelotti. He went to Bayern after Pep, and it didn't go well for him. I think he still won a league there, but his time there is largely remembered as a failure, such as the height of the bar that is set there. I'm worried for him more than anything. Nick, we had a disagreement in January. I think you were one of the many, many, many people who disagreed with me in January about someone who read the article. He has now gone to Napoli. How do we expect him to develop, or lack of develop there?
In a positive for him, he has a lot more chance to play under Ancelotti than he had under Sarri, who obviously had that 11 to 13 players, let's say, that he pretty much used exclusively. So it seemed like it would have been a waste then. So I think Ancelotti's already shown that he's going to utilise him where he can. I think those forward three are probably not going to be as, you know, set as they have been in previous seasons. So there's going to be more pressure on Insigne, Callejon and Mertens to be performing. So you can, of course, I'm not sure why you're laughing, but so look, it's good. It's good that they've got that depth now. Someone actually mentioned Inglese there as well, so added depth. So look, that's only going to help Napoli going forward, I think. So it is a good thing. And yeah, I think Verde, I think we all agree he's, I mean, he's not a world beater, but he's got the ability to perform at Napoli, let's say. So I think he could be good.
Let's hope so. I was laughing nothing to do with what you were saying, but CM Fox, he might have a different name tonight, but he's up to the same old tricks because he's given us the title odds and said Napoli are second favourites at 7-1. Then he said Inter are both 8-1 and 10-1. So I don't know what he's done there. But then, Vito, this one's for you. Genoa at 1,000-1. Might get on that.
Yeah. Very generous odds, very generous.
If you want to throw your money away backing Genoa for anything, then feel free, CM Fox, but we're not going to push you one way or the other.
Question for Vito.
Go on.
Yes.
Is Doria Boy, is he one of yours? One of your fans? What's going on?
Actually, yes. He's from Nigeria, and he's been following me on Twitter for about a month, so... Yeah, interesting support. Hopefully more people jump on the bandwagon. And, of course, Forza Doria.
I think I got a Sampdoria follower because of you, actually, about a month ago. So maybe it's the same one. But I didn't
Uses Doria Boy on Twitter, so...
No. I'm thinking of a different guy. Your following is large, Vito, larger than the rest of ours. right, guys, Vito, Roma or Milan next? You can choose.
Actually, we'll go to Milan because there's been quite a bit of news with them. So
yeah, they've been doing okay this summer. Like, all the hype around them last summer with the spending, but by getting rid of Nikola Kalinic, like finding someone who was willing to give them money for Nikola Kalinic, they deserve a trophy for that in itself. And then to get Gonzalo Higuain in his place. They're not going to know themselves. You've got someone who can score goals, Vito. And it's not a kid from the youth team who scored a few. They've got Gonzalo Higuain. They're going to get top four this year at last, right?
I think they have a chance, to be honest. I probably was one of those people that talked up the chances too soon last season. But I think with the Elliott group coming in, replacing Yonghong Lee, there's been a lot more stability off the field. So hopefully on the field we see... those results. And look, I was critical of Higuain at Juventus, and I don't think he lived up to the hype, but I think with the Rossoneri, he can make a difference. He's arguably the best player in the squad at the moment, so I think he's a guy that Gattuso's got to really look at seriously and see that you've got to see what Higuain's strengths are, and he's still a good finisher, so hopefully after the criticism I've given him over the last 2 years... hopefully he can, you know, prove people wrong and show that he still has that full finishing touch because he scored a good one in that 3-1 defeat to Real Madrid in a friendly. So hopefully he replicates that in Serie A.
You would hope so. And he's someone that just scores. He's one of those players that, Nick, we spoke about him in Milan and you said you didn't like him because of his personality or something, but... as a player, I love Gonzalo Higuain. He gets criticised for being fat, but he just scores goals all of the time, except for Argentina. For everyone else, he just bangs them in, and I really like him. What's exciting me about Milan this year, as much as it is upsetting to see Mattia Caldara just being tossed around the place like a piece of dirt, he's back reunited with Alessio Romagnoli in front of Gigi Donnarumma. They have a decent defence next year. And when you throw Andrea Conti back in at right back and, I don't know, Davide Calabria at left, it's quite exciting from an Italy perspective as well. Nick, do you think that they can actually do something this year?
Well, yeah, you just look at that kind of starting team and you think it's a solid team. It's a really solid team. Like the defence in particular, as you just mentioned, the centre-backs are great. And it's easy to forget Andrea Conte, obviously, with the injuries and stuff, but that's a huge plus for Milan to have a healthy Conte actually playing for them. Like, we kind of forgot that he was even there. You know, a massive loss for last season. So And then you've got the midfield. It's a very solid one. Bilia, Kessie, Bonaventura. And now, as you mentioned, Higuain, and he showed just exactly that, the ability to be able to bang in goals. And I can't remember who it was against, but in one of the preseasons, he did one of those goals just from outside the box. Nothing kind of happening, but turned, shot, goal. And that's gonna make it so much easier for the likes of Calhanoglu, for Suso, and for Bonaventura to be able to find space around the box and for them to actually create opportunities. That's what they've been lacking a lot of, the opportunities and finishing. And, you know, a lot of it's been in the past relied on the likes of Bonaventura to create, or Suso when he decides to, you know, actually play. So Higuain's, I think, is going to be massive, not only for his goals, but his presence just in that, around that final third is just going to help his teammates so much, I think. So there's a lot to like about this Milan squad. Only probably thing I'm wary of in terms of them finishing in top four is that you start to, you know, make some substitutes and the depth isn't quite there. So from that starting 11, there's not much there to back it up throughout the season, given that they, you know, will be in Europe once again after that little appeal. So, but look, you know, it's a very solid squad. If they can remain healthy, then I'm sure they can have a good play at the top four.
Yeah, you would expect so. Higuain being there is important. And I think Patrick Cutrone must be absolutely delighted to be learning from someone like that at this stage of his career. But you listed some of their important players, Conte, Caldara, Kessie, Bonaventura. I'm seeing a bit of a theme here with important players at the bigger clubs. Can't quite work out what it is. Either of you help me out with that one?
I'll put it this way. Look, if Spal is the Atalanta B team, is AC Milan the Atalanta A-plus team?
Vito, you're done. You're not on the pod anymore. that is an outrageous shape. But they're just Atalanta's financial backing. They give Atalanta money every year, and Atalanta keep taking over and doing as well, if not better than them. But we'll see how it goes this year.
Beautiful. Can we quote that? Someone quote that. Put it on Twitter.
Don't worry. That'll be doing the rounds for the rest of the season. I've got to beat Milan in Bergamo. I'll be quoting that straight back at Fino. right. Guys, what's the story, right? Because Donnarumma is still there. Reina's there. Who's number one? Nick.
Donnarumma. You have to assume. Reina's got, I mean, at his age, he's got to just be a backup. They're spending way too much for Donnarumma to be a backup keeper, surely. I'm not his biggest fan, I'll admit, but, I mean, he's got the development there. So, I don't...
Okay.
I don't know what...
We should... This is something that we should note, because Philip is back in the comments. And if you guys remember correctly, Philip is the guy who disappeared for a few months because he had to go and do national service or something and go and take part in a war. So, Philip, it's great to see you're back. God. Welcome along. You have missed the inter chat, sadly, but stick around because they'll get another couple of mentions towards the end and get involved with the chat. You and CM Fox are already getting on again. It's nice to see you guys having a little cuddle in the comments. But I think it's time to talk about Roma. Vito, they've been making some interesting signings. It is a shame what happened with Malcolm, but they've got Javier Pastore, the young Clivert, Brian Cristante, and of course Antonio Morante as well. But they've signed quite interestingly this summer, and I'm intrigued to see how they do. I think they'll finish top four, but I'm not entirely convinced just yet. What do you think? Is Di Francesco the right man to be with these players? We've seen him do similar work with Sassuolo before and indeed with Roma last year. So what do we think about the Giallorossi?
Well, my opinion remains of Roma and Di Francesco. Last season was just a transitional year, but they still finished third and they managed to get into the semi-finals of the Champions League. So what Monchi has done is added a lot of players that are predominantly going to be depth players. I don't think too many of those signings are really going to make a big difference, except for possibly Cristante and Pastore. Those guys, I think they can really change the shape of the midfield and probably help Rome to become a more fluid team. So I do think they should finish in the Champions League spots again. It's whether they can take the next step up and really, you know, finish higher than third. So that's probably one thing. And the Malcolm situation, I just think that it's a bit of a fuss, bit of hype around it, but I don't think Roma will have many regrets in the long run. If Clive can justify his signing, then I don't think they'd have to worry too much about Malcolm. Plus, Cengizunde in his second year with the club, he might have another good year. Plus, they still have Stefan El Shaarawy and Diego Perotti on the books. So, Malcolm, when I think about it, I can just let Barca have him. What's there is good enough for Roma, and I don't think Malcolm's the kind of guy that would get Roma into a Champions League final anyway or win Roma Scudetto. So no big loss in my view. I think it was just the situation that just got too murky.
Mm. Now, Philip says he was sure they'd get top four until they sold Alisson, and I was quite similar in that. I thought selling Alisson is obviously huge. Mm. Nick, do you want to talk more about Roma or will we?
I mean, I think you kind of got the main points. I think with them, that I still see them as a top four, kind of going along what you guys were saying. I think them and Napoli will be kind of the main competitors, let's say, for the top four. But for me, it's going to be Juve, Inter, and then you've got possibly, let's say, Milan, Roma, and Napoli fighting for those top two positions. So that's kind of where I see them. I think Roma will safely be in the top four, but I just, with them, I just think they have those kind of fringe players, which Vito was referring to, which have the potential to be really, could do some awesome things, but also could just be duds, let's say. So I think, as long as, you know, they're average, they should finish top four. But that if all those new players like Kluivert, if they really are able to come to the forefront and Unda continues some of the form he showed last season, then there is a potential that they could actually go a bit higher.
All right, Nick, I'll stick with you. Do you want to... It would feel wrong if we didn't give Lazio a mention, given how they have overachieved. But I don't really know what to say about them because... they just do the same thing. They've lost De Vrij and Felipe Anderson, obviously. What do we think? Is Simone Inzaghi... this is going to get confused. I nearly called them Pippo there, and they're both in Serie A this year. So just prepare yourselves for a long season of me getting the Inzaghi brothers mixed up. But can Simone Inzaghi replicate what he's done there in the last couple of years, Nick? Will Lazio be knocking on the door of the Champions League again?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Yeah, actually, now that you've said that, you've just made me realize that I left them out of my little fight for the top four. And I think, to be honest, they deserve to be mentioned in that group. Because
but doesn't that sum up Lazio for the last 2 years? You keep overlooking them, and they just keep doing it.
Exactly. And, you know, look, as long as at the moment, if they keep the key things are Milinkovic, Savic, obviously that's been a huge thing over the summer, still there. So if he remains, that's going to be absolutely huge for Lazio. That's better than a signing. So Immobile, Luis Alberto, they've got those key players there. So they've been able to do some good work in terms of replacing De Vrij with the Acerbi, which is almost a swap for swap. That's a really good piece of business. So, you know, similar to Napoli for me, the main structure formation is still there. So I think there's no reason why they will go backwards. And they're one of those teams that will keep just being annoying to some of the bigger teams, let's say, you know, and with all due respect to Lazio, you know, I don't mean to disrespect them, but, you know, they'll be thereabouts. I can't see them going backwards, let's say. Let's just put it that way.
Vito, did you want to make a comment on Lazio as well?
I'll be very honest and say I would be surprised if they finished higher than sixth this season, to be honest. Woo. I reckon last season was a lost opportunity for them to get into the Champions League. That was sort of their window. But the way the other teams have restructured this season or during the summer, I think it's going to be extremely tough for Lazio. The way Roma have strengthened, they're going to still be up there. Napoli, if they drop off, that's one thing. But I still think they got a good enough team. And Milan, despite all the problems they've had, I still feel a sense of optimism, especially with what's happened in the last month or so and with the signings they've made. Lazio, it's same old, same old. So even with Milan Badel and Joaquin Correa coming in, I don't think that's enough of a jump in quality to get them into the Champions League. But in saying that, Simone Inzaghi is a fantastic coach. And if someone's going to get this squad into the Champions League, I think it's someone with his know-how and nous that can get the Aquilaire into those high spots. But, yeah, on paper, I'm not optimistic about them as yet.
But just off the back of that, can I just, say, I think it's actually, when you look at this, the fact that we're talking about where Lazio will sit with regards to the AC Milan's and Roma's growing and developing their squads, I think it kind of highlights that Serie A is actually growing and it's actually looking to be showing some real positive signs for the future, because these squads that are now competing for the Europa League places, Serie A has the depth again. Well, they're beginning to have that depth again, which is really positive. So now I guess it's a matter of Serie A clubs showing what they can do in Europe. And hopefully now that the spotlight's on, obviously with the likes of Cristiano Ronaldo, these kind of squads, you know, for Lazio, for me, they're going to be playing similar ways, but it's up to the other teams to actually improve more than Lazio. So it's not about them going backwards, but it's great for the competition as a whole. So I'm really hopeful that this is going to improve the quality of the top 6 to 8 teams going forward.
Yeah, I'm glad that you said Serie A is showing quality again, showing signs of development, because I think you could even limit that to the top half of Serie A, because beyond the usual suspects you've got, Atalanta, Fiorentina, possibly Torino and Samp, we'll see, in a group that are quite strong. But then beneath that, there could potentially be a load of absolute dross. And then we saw Serie B just revealing today, 6 days before the season starts, that they're going to have 19 teams in it. An uneven number, so a team gets a rest every week, and that they only just released the fixtures today. So Italian football is still an absolute mess, but it is nice to have some good football amongst all the madness, because
it's because the Serie B quality is so good that we need to concentrate on less matches each week. How good was it last season? So that's why, and you know, get one team a break each season so they can look on and see the quality that's happening. If you're not watching Serie B, get on it.
Yeah, for sure.
Crotone.
For sure. Don't shout the club name, Nick. Don't just shout the club name and then not offer anything
Crotone.
On it.
Crotone.
Like, That's ridiculous. look, we come to Italy for the football and you stay for the madness because it's more entertaining what happens off the pitch than what happens on it. And it was quite heartwarming to have another match-fixing scandal back this summer, wasn't it? It was. How good did that make you feel about it all?
Yeah, I'm not commenting.
welcome back, Parma. It's good to have you guys. But I have best of the rest down, and don't confuse that with the ones to watch that I have a bit further down. So we've discussed the usual suspects, Juve, Inter, Roma, Milan, Napoli, Lazio. So that'll be the top six. Who's going to be the strongest? I'm obviously thinking of the Bergamaschi. Anyone else worth a shout there?
Well, aside from my bias towards Samp and then, of course, keeping an eye on Atalanta, I think the best of the rest probably be Fiorentina. I think with the front line of Piazza, Simeone and Chiesa, and then also getting Kevin Morales on loan from Everton, I think they can be a very dangerous team. The only thing is that Stefano Pioli's got to make sure he gets his midfield structure right. So the likes of Benassi, Essarik, Vertu, they've got to really lift and give those forwards some proper service.
Yeah, definitely. I'll stick with Vito. Fiorentina, at least on paper, are significantly ahead of the other teams, in my opinion. And I think they have enough to put it together. I mean, that attack is very exciting. So as long as, you know, that they can keep that midfield structure and the defence in check, then they should be the best of the rest, as you say.
Is there a chance that they could push for a little bit more? Because Fiorentina are a club that probably should be.
Fiorentina, well, probably for the reasons I said earlier, it's more about, you know, if Pioli can get the midfield right. The defence is not too bad, but it's solid. So, you know, although Astori passed away tragically, I still think they got some good defenders, especially German Pizzella. So I think they'll be solid there. But yeah, if Simeone can get close to 20 goals and Chiesa, he can be a more reliable contributor goal scoring wise. If he can score 10 or 15 himself, I think that will make a big difference.
Yeah, they've certainly got the potential to be challenging in the future, but I think this team probably needs another season. And then next season, we might be talking about them pushing for, you know, European spots.
Okay, right. We've been gathering our predictions behind the scenes at ForzaItalianFootball.com. There will be an article going up with all of the writers' predictions. Well, those of us who have been bothered to put them together and send them on to the boss, man. I suppose we'll start this with the logical place to start is the top four. I'll list mine first. I've gone in order. Juventus, Inter, Roma, and Milan. Nick, then Vito.
I've gone Juventus, Inter, Napoli, and Roma.
I've gone for Juve first, with Inter second, Roma third, and Napoli just to get that final spot, but not with great confidence.
All right. I could hear it in your voice. But I'm glad that I'm the only one that's predicting Napoli to get outside the top four, because it means the pod will get less hate. And if I'm right, I get to rub it in both of your faces. So it's win-win for us. relegated then, sadly. Sorry, guys. Parma. I don't think you guys will be sticking around. Although Alessandro Bastoni's gone there on loan. So Nick, you and I both have a bit of interest in him, seeing him do well. Frosinone will finish bottom. And 19th place. See you later, Udinese. At last.
for relegation, quick side note, just unrelated completely, I just wanted to say that the editor, the boss man for FIF, we all love and respect you. Complete side note, nothing to do with this. My relegation picks: Chievo and Parma and Frosinone. But Chievo particularly.
No comments.
Yeah. Look, I'm going to go, Chievo, Udinese and Frosinone. Quick reasons. Chievo, I think the pragmatic approach, even with Lorenzo Dunne as coach, I think it's becoming too outdated. Everyone's starting to become more attacking in Italy out of all countries. So if they don't evolve, they're going to really sink down. Udinese, I wrote a piece about the new coach. I think it's a recipe for disaster. Sorry, Sonia, if you're listening. And Frosinone, you can add all the experience you want, but quality is quality. And Frosinone, they haven't got enough Serie A quality. So unfortunately for them, I think they're dropping back down.
Imran Khan has come in the comments. I'm just catching up now. And he thinks Lazio are going to get top four. CM Fox is... Vito, what did you do to CM Fox? Because his relegation predictions are Frosinone, Sampdoria and Empoli.
Which comedy festival is up next? Did the Montreal one just finish?
Actually, Vito, I'll tell you what comedy festival is up next. It's CM Fox's again, because his title predictions, his top four predictions are Genoa, Inter, Juve and Roma. You don't need to accept them.
Well, let's be honest. Is he living in 2018 or 1948? That's what I've got to know. Is he even in 1948? I don't think Genoa were good enough.
Nah, who knows? He's on the wind-up, you know. He's absolutely just... Hellas Verona aren't even in Serie A anymore. You don't need to respond to them. They're back where they belong. Chievo are the number one team in Verona, which is embarrassing because they barely have any fans. But sorry, you back Vito into the corner. I'm going to help fight his case. I'm not going to do top scorer because I've just seen the three of us went for the exact same person. No money for guessing who that's going to be. Player to watch, I have let my bias creep in, but I think it is quite fair in Moussa Barrow. He showed in his games last season how deadly he can be. Terrifies defences. Nick, you'll remember him absolutely ripping into a part in the first half before being taken off at halftime for some reason. And the only thing he can't do is execute a good first touch. Other than that, he's brilliant. If he can develop his first touch, he's going to be frightening there. And with Duvan Zapata also at Atalanta, I think he's going to learn a thing or two about controlling the ball from him, hopefully. Nick?
Yeah, I mentioned him before in the pod, but Lautaro Martinez, I think, is so exciting. I probably wouldn't have said this a few weeks ago, but just the way he's played in preseason, it looks like him and Icardi have already got a little bit of a combination there. I'm really excited to see how Spalletti introduces him throughout the season. And I think with him and Icardi there as top quality finishers, it could be so exciting up front for Inter. So he's definitely one to keep an eye out on.
And Vito.
Well, I've put down Justin Kluivert, and I must admit I haven't seen a great deal of him, but from what I've seen, he does provide a bit of an X factor, a bit of spark on the wings. He's got a bit of potential, and of course, being the son of Patrick Kluivert, probably one of the best strikers in recent memory, of course, it's interesting to see how these sons of champions do, if they can live up to the same hype as the fathers. So I wonder how much of an impact he can make at Roma. And we saw what Cengiz Under did last season, so maybe he can replicate that.
Yeah, Kluivert's one that I'm looking forward to seeing as well. I don't know enough about him to comment, but he seems to have a lot of talent. This is one that I always like answering every season. What would you like to see this season? Last season, I wanted a title race. We got it. This season, I'm not so optimistic about that. So I've kind of cowardly said that I want to see Mattia Caldara settle down at Milan and do well. And I'm looking forward to his partnership with the rest of the Italians building in Milan's back four, and hopefully he can be part of something there. Nick, what have you got?
Look, I just want to see the Milan. It'd be good to see the Milan Giants back again. I don't think we're quite there. I think we might get one half of it with Inter this season. So it'd be good to see them back competing as a European giant again. But also to see, as I kind of touched on before, the Serie A clubs actually showing what Italian football is about, and actually impressing the international audience that hopefully the league's going to get this season. So performing well in Europe and actually making for a good competition.
Vito?
Probably following on from what Nick was saying, probably I would like to see AC Milan actually fight for the Champions League. Gennaro Gattuso has his critics as a coach, but I still think it's a very good team. And I think with the yes, Nick, I see you. With Higuain and Caldara there, I think they're good additions. So hopefully they make a difference for the Rossoneri. I also want to see Domenico Berardi finally live up to his potential after two poor years. I think after those first 3 years, he was sensational. So I really want him to really become a star and show us again why he was so highly rated in the first place. So would be good to see him back in form. And, of course, you know, like we've seen in the last few years, just see more Italian kids come in. I mean, the youth teams, the Azzurrini at all different levels have been making finals and semi-finals. So with more youth coming through, I think we can look for a more positive future for the Italian national team, which we need after obviously watching the World Cup without Italy. So more young Italians.
Vito, if you like watching the young Italians come through, I've got a club that seemed right up your street.
Well, Atalanta's the obvious one.
Yeah, for sure. Gianluca Mancini, actually. He's going to be the successor to Mattia Caldara at Atalanta, and he featured a bit last season. He looks like he's going to be the number one choice in the middle of that back three this year, and he's definitely worth keeping an eye on. Aaron Holland has come in with a nice what you'd like to see this season. He says he'd like to see an Italian national team form as an Italian player stepping up, which we can all get behind, especially after the absolute farce that was last year. Right, this then, ones to watch. I had a clubs in mind here. What are you laughing at?
CM Fox is trolling the boss. It's great.
Oh, the boss is getting involved in the comments. see, people always think that's me doing those live comments. It's not. That's the boss. All right, ones to watch. I've gone surprisingly for Sassuolo because if you remember when Di Francesco was there, they were quite an exciting team, played nice football. And then they kind of went off a cliff. For the last two seasons, they've been an irrelevance. But now they've got Domenico Berardi is still there. They've got the boy Boga in from Chelsea. Kuma Babacar is there. He might do something. Kevin Prince Boateng, ridiculously, is there. And Federico Di Francesco, I really think that'll be quite exciting this year. Manuel Locatelli, of course, his signing from Milan went through today. A permanent signing with no buyback clause, which is curious. But I think Sassuolo, I'm not sure they'll be world beaters or they'll be challenging Europe, but I think they will be enjoyable to watch this year. And given that I am hoping to be based quite near to Reggio Emilia, I might get to watch them quite a lot this year, which will be quite nice. And their kit and song is good too, so get on board. Nick, what have you got?
Right. I've got Torino for this. And to be honest, their summer window, it hasn't been overly exciting. Most of their business has been around making their loan deals permanent for the likes of Kalou in central defence, Thomas Rincon and Mbai Niang. But to be honest, for this Torino team, I think consistency is going to be the best thing for them. Ensure that defence is actually and midfield is forming those combinations from carrying over from last season. And obviously with Mazzarri coming in mid-season, I think, you know, the longer this team plays together, the more they're going to develop. And they could really surprise a lot. They're almost like a team you just want to kind of like the underdog, because a lot of the players there that they're kind of the ones that didn't quite make it at the big clubs. So they've kind of got together a few of these players together and they've got a lot to prove, I think. So the big caveat to this is obviously Andrea Belotti, whether he can actually reach the heights of previous seasons, because he did struggle last season after those injury periods out. So if he can actually perform, it'll allow his teammates a lot more time and ability to create. But yeah, the potential is certainly there. So I think they could surprise a few this season.
Well, quickly before I go on to my prediction, I'll just touch briefly on the teams that you guys mentioned. So with Sassuolo, I think they will be a team to watch because Roberto De Zerbi was working wonders at Benevento despite them finishing on the bottom of the table. They did look competitive in matches, but just the quality of the team just wasn't there. So I think with the youngsters Sassuolo has and the experience of Boateng, I think they can do well and they'll be a really excellent team to watch if they buy into De Zerbi's ideas quickly. And they did thrash Ternana 5-1 in the Coppa Italia, so it looks like those key players are getting on board. While with Torino, they thumped Cosenza 4-0 in the Coppa Italia. And, yeah, it looks like Mazzari's ideas are coming through. So hopefully Mazzari helps his team to overachieve because he's done it in the past, except for Inter, unfortunately. My tip is Fiorentina, though, for the reasons I repeated earlier. So, yeah, it's just a matter, you know, if Pioli can get that team firing right away. If they can fire in the goals and live up to the hype, I think they're probably going to be one of the most exciting teams to watch next season. It's just a matter if they can be consistent and obtain good results and really shake things up at that top half.
We've done it. We've made it through the first podcast of the season. It's been an absolute pleasure, though it's kind of terrifying that it has been so long, because it honestly feels like last Sunday night that we all sat here talking about that mad game when Inter beat Lazio to get back into the Champions League. Right, guys, as I've mentioned at the start of the podcast and throughout, we have a massive giveaway to mark the start of this Serie A season. It is huge, even bigger than Nicholas Carroll's ego. You can win a Serie A shirt of your choice or any from 3retro.com. That's the number 3retro.com. Plus €20 spending money in the FIF shop. And thanks to the ever so generous Barry Masterson and the extremely talented Barry Masterson, might I add, a beautiful Roberto Baggio print.
Wow!
Isn't that amazing? But it doesn't end there. If you come second, you also get €20 to spend in the FIF shop. And let's be honest, guys, you can't get any fairer than that. Now, to get your hands on these goodies, all you need to do is tell us which player will complete the most passes on the first weekend of Serie A. So tell us the player and how many passes you think he will complete. The person with the closest to the actual number will win. Simple. To enter, either send us a tweet using the hashtag FIFGiveaway to @SerieAFFC, or leave your answer in the comment section of the podcast on the Facebook post, or you can email ForzaItalianFootball@snack-media.com. And entries to the competition will close as Juventus kick off their Serie A season with Cristiano Ronaldo away to Chievo. Best of luck. Have we got anything else to say before we wrap up?
No, we've spoken for more than an hour, so I think we've said more than plenty.
All right, guys, we've really enjoyed the interaction. It's been good. First one of the season's usually a bit dodgy, but you guys are obviously raring to go. Live viewers has been good throughout. Thank you so, so much. The next time you see me, I will be in Italy again, waiting for these two boys to book their flights and join me. I might even be with Dov, the boss, talking about Chievo, no doubt. But yeah, it's a pleasure to be back. Guys, stick with us through the season. Tell your friends about us. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Rate us. Tell everyone about us. Share us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everything. Follow me on Twitter @ConJClancy. I'm the same on Instagram. And I've got a page that you can like on Facebook. Just look up my name. Vito, do the same.
On Twitter and Instagram with the same handle, Vito C. Doria. And I've got my Facebook page @VitoDoria as well. So go and have a look.
Nick, you're already smiling. What are you going to do to annoy me?
I'm just surprised that you threw an Instagram out there now. Is that a new thing that we're doing? What's on your Instagram? I don't even know.
Just photographs, nothing to do with football.
Oh, so get a bit of insight into Connor's private life.
No, just like photographs. Like nothing dogs. To do with... No. Go follow me on Instagram and you'll find out, mate.
Cool, I will.
All right. Are you going to tell people where they can find you, or are you just going to do this thing again?
I mean, it can find me on Twitter and Facebook if you look hard enough.
Thanks. We are on Twitter @SerieAFFC and on Facebook and Instagram @ForzaItalianFootball. Head over to the website, ForzaItalianFootball.com. Read all of the things you need to read. We will have season previews going up for the big six clubs in the next 3 days. Nick, I think you might have to message me back. But everyone else is doing things. Vita's doing an overall season preview. We'll have young players to watch, surprises to look out for, the usual nonsense. Something about kits. And then the real football will start on Saturday. And I cannot wait for the football to start so we can stop talking about transfers and all of the other nonsense that goes with the summer and the off season. But yeah, I'm rambling. Guys, thank you for returning this season. I'll speak to you next week. And all that is left for me to say is ciao for now.
Ciao.
Ciao, ciao.
Portaci dove vuoi, verso le tue conquiste. Dove tu arriverai, sarà la storia di tutti noi. Solo chi corre può fare di te la squadra che sei. Curva in festa, come un abbraccio noi, e ancora non ci basta. Ogni pagina nuova, sai, sarà ancora la storia di tutti noi. Solo chi corre può fare di te quello che sei.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.